Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome each and every one of you here, and today's a special day where we bring honor to the graduates, and not all of them are able to be here, but I would ask that as I call your name, if you are available, please come on up and come right here, and we just want to have a prayer and bless you in your next endeavors in life. From Ferris State University, we have Brianna Rossio, and from Finlandia University, Craig Rossio. Dollar Bay High School, Victoria Shiraz. And Houghton High School, Tanner Halumbo and Callie Stan. Hancock Central High, Jacob Norkel and Luke Raudio and Haley Watson. And from Michigan Tech, we have Jordan Smith. Jordan, you all grown up. Remember when Jordan used to come to the house and play games with the boys? And I'd come downstairs crabby and say, aren't you guys going to do anything besides play games? You don't have to face them if you don't want to. You can turn and face me. That way, you know, you don't know what they're saying behind your back. Really, we are honored to have you all here. It's a blessing. And you guys all have a special place in our hearts. There's no doubt about it. And got to spend time at confirmation camp and different things together and really just had a good time. So we hope that your school years and your college years have been great, and we pray that you, if you move forward in college, that you have a good time, and also that you know, if you ever need anything, you come find us, because we're the body of Christ, and we're here to support you in any way, shape, or form. Trust me, I need the body of Christ just like anybody else. So let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to even take a moment to consider the gifts that you have given to us. Father, each and every one of these young individuals is a gift, and we praise and we thank you for this. We thank you, Father, that you've allowed them to go through their high school years, their college years, and Father, that they continue to have a heart for you. We pray that you would guide them in the future. We pray that you would show them exactly the path that they would be on. We pray, Father, that everything they say and do, that it would bring you honor and glory, and then also, Father, that all of their dreams would be fulfilled. We pray that you would protect them, and that you would show them, Father, your unconditional love each and every day. Most of all, we ask that you would continue to keep their hearts alive, that, Father, they would rejoice in everything that they do, that they would understand every day is a gift from your hands. We pray, Father, blessing upon each and every one. We ask, Father, all of this in Christ's name. Now the Lord bless you. Keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'll be with you guys, hey? Now you get to go listen to a sermon. But at least you get to eat after. And they got you cake. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for the sixth Sunday after Easter will be taken from the Gospel of John. We're going to read from chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. And we pray that God will continue to honor himself in and through his word. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, if you are willing and able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay great multitude of impotent folk, and a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. And a certain man was there, which lay in infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked on the same day was the Sabbath. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit that you would sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. We ask that you would be honored, that you would be glorified. And Father, we ask today that we would receive, to be strengthened even for another day. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. We honored our graduates, and we continue to honor them. There's no doubt about it. But now, it can almost be a little bit overwhelming. For the high schoolers, you just got done, or you're still in the process, but you were the seniors. You were the top dog. I remember one of my sons came to me and he said, I find it interesting, he said, for about a year and a half, I was really feeling like, now I'm the man. Because I'm on the top of the food chain. And then after he graduates, it's over. I can imagine for Jordan, when he went to Tech after being a senior, it got to be kind of overwhelming now to be once again a freshman. And now he's gone through the process of going for further education, probably has graduated with probably about 1,000 other people at Tech, which is amazing to me to watch that. But anyways, the question can come up now. I pray that God already has something in store for each and every one of you, and I pray that you see that He has guided you this far and He will not let you down. But oftentimes we have a tendency to look around us and say, now what? And then as humans, we can have a tendency to want to take things into our own hands, to deal with things in our own way. And I think to a certain degree that's good. I think we need to have the motivation to take things on. I think we need to have the motivation to move forward in life. But what I would ask and what I would pray for is that as we do this, not only those graduating, but each and every one of us here today dealing with changes in our life, that we would go hand in hand with the Lord. That we would not always just seek for the world to give us a hand or to give us a hand up. But rather that we be encouraged that God has our hand each and every step of the way. We could even go further with that. We could turn around and look at it in the context of even when we have no ability to do anything, our God carries us. That He brings us through. We have an interesting situation. We just saw previously in chapter 4, if we were to read that, we saw previously where Jesus heals a son. He's showing forth his miracles. And previously to chapter 5, we see very directly that Jesus gives us the instruction that God so loved this world. And I think that's important for us to understand. God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. He sought for restoration for each and every one of us. He sought for us to be healed. We had a curse. We call it sin. We had a plague. We call it sin. And yet God sought to bring restoration and healing for us, to be able to keep us on this path, that we would be able to be more than conquerors, moving victoriously in and through this life. It doesn't always feel that way, does it? But He had just healed a young individual. And so then we're shown insight here. It says, and then after this was the feast of the Jews. And this is kind of a debated feast. People kind of turn around and say, well, which one was it? It really could be the feast that would commemorate or give honor to the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness to the Israelites. It also could be the New Year's feast. There's many different theories on this, which it really doesn't matter. The point was that they were getting together to have a gethany. They were gathering together to bring honor to God for bringing them through another situation. And so now, when they are having this, there was this insight given to us now about Jesus. He goes up to Jerusalem. He says, and there was in Jerusalem at that time a sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, which really means mercy or blessing. And really what this is before the sheep were brought into the temple for worship, they would be bathed, they'd be washed in this pool, so they'd be purified. And so you have this symbolism of purification, no doubt about it, bringing these sheep in for the sacrifice. And where do we find Christ? But He is there. He is there. And there was these great multitude. Can you imagine going there? And you go out and you go out on this porch and you look towards this pool and all of a sudden there's these people laying around everywhere. And what is their issue? They're all diseased. They all have infirmities. They all have struggles. They all have difficulties. Whether they have withered up hands, whether they have, this man can't walk, or they have leprosy or different things like this. Doesn't say leprosy, maybe they didn't come around because they're supposed to be in a different colony, but you get my point. They had struggles. You could imagine those that were blind were there, but yet they could run, they could walk, so therefore they could get to the water faster. And it's an interesting thing when you talk about this whole thing. Now there's this pool there, and now the legend was is that an angel would come down and he would stir up the water, and when this angel did this, then the first person in the water would be healed. Well, it becomes a very desirable spot, doesn't it? Kind of like people still looking for the fountain of youth in our day and age. It becomes a desirable place. So all these people, they're waiting, and they're waiting for this to happen because this is where they're laying their hope. They're laying their hope in the reality by chance that this could take place. How many times in our lives have we turned around and placed our hopes in different areas? And we just sit there and we wait and we wait. It can be quite disheartening. Can you imagine going here day after day after day? Can you imagine laying all your hopes for any of your struggles? If you had a health issue, if you have a family need, if you have any of these things, to go here day after day. Can you imagine the weight that each day would add to you? And I'm talking about the load of care. So now the insight that's given to us is the fact that whoever was to step into this troubled water would be healed of that day, disease. At that moment, but it was only one. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, and I think this is really interesting, where John gives us this deep insight. How long did he have this struggle? 38 years. 38 years this man battled with his infirmity. Can you imagine how difficult it was for him to get there? Did he crawl? Did he crawl there? Was he so desperate? Was he so desirous that he had to crawl there? Did he roll there? He says very plainly when the water even begins to start stirring, he starts trying to get down there. How was he doing that? He says, but someone steps over. In other words, someone else that's more mobile has the opportunity to get there before me. Because what is their first thought? For themselves. For themselves. It is an interesting situation when you stop it and you really look at it from kind of the outside. You see, there is this pool where there is the purification for the sheep to be slaughtered. No doubt about it. But there is this pool. And all these people, they hear this legend, they hear this story that when the water starts troubling, if they were just to go down there and they were the first one, so everybody's kind of in this race. But it's kind of like, one of those sack races. Why is it a sack race? Because everybody has an infirmity. They have a disability of some sort. Can you imagine the chaos? It's every man for himself. And sadly to come, the truth of it is when it really is a push to shove situation, it often becomes that way with human beings. Every man for himself. What can I get? How can I be healed? We will do whatever it takes. They were seeking for the legend. They were seeking, in reality, for this one hope, this glimmer of hope. And what I find so interesting about this, they weren't in the temple. They weren't in the temple. Have you ever thought of that? They were outside, waiting by the pool where the sheep were washed, in hopes that the water would stir so that they could be the first one in it, in hope that they would be healed. The center of worship was right there. The center of Israelite worship was right there. The holiest of holies was right there. And yet they were outside waiting to get into a dirty pool. Where is the heart of human beings? When you turn around and you look at it with the thinking of the day, when you turn around and you look at even how in the Gospel of John, the very same chapter when they encounter, the disciples, they encounter the man that was born blind, the question that they ask, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind? Because people that had any infirmity were considered really cursed by God. And people often wanted to separate themselves. They would not be allowed even into the temple for their infirmities. And so you have this situation where these people are in need and they're seeking. But yet they are looking really to the outside. They're looking to the world to take care of their issues. They're looking to the legends. They're looking to everything else. Does it sound familiar? Do we still have this problem? Yes, we do. When we need and we come to the crossroads of our lives and we have these situations in our lives, where do we turn? Do we turn to the religion of men? Do we turn to the philosophy of the world? Do we turn everywhere else? Or do we look solely in the face of Jesus Christ? Do we understand He is the only one that can get us through? Oftentimes for human beings, we turn to a lot of other things. We turn to our riches, we turn to our alcohol, we turn to our drugs, we turn to our porn, we turn to all these other things. And I'm not making judgment. Look at the statistics. And we have a tendency as human beings to turn around and judge these people, to look at them and to say very plainly, well, it's their disease. But it is the lostness of their hope that has caused even this. They are looking for relief. They are looking to be released of this struggle and this burden within them, and they turn to something. These individuals, they turn to what they knew. Because it didn't seem the religious world really cared. So Jesus saw this individual that had been diseased for 38 years, that probably came here for many, many of those years. Jesus saw this individual, and He doesn't turn from him. He doesn't turn from him. Jesus sees this individual, and He goes up to him. He knew that he had this disease for this long. And He turns around and He asks a question, which seems just like, what? He says, will you be made whole? And people turn around and they bring this to an aspect of, why is Jesus asking this question? And it's very much that people will say, well, He's saying, do you want to be made whole? Come on. I may not be the greatest theologian. I'm not a theologian. But the fact of it is, be this theologian. But He's Jesus. He knows everything. He's Jesus. He knows the legend. He's Jesus. He knows why the guy is there. The guy's not hanging out there just because he likes sheep water. I think what has come to this is Jesus is saying, you think it'll work? Do you think it'll work? Is this where you're betting your money? Is this where you're placing your bets? Do you think it'll work? What are we trusting in? And I think it's a call for each and every one of us. It's a call for Pastor Jesse. It's a call for Judith. It's a call for each and every one of us. What are we trusting in? I don't need to look out there. I don't need to figure out what's going on in your life. I'd love to in some ways, and in some ways I couldn't handle it all, could I? I'm only one individual. But whatever we're relying on, will it work? Yes, you could say, Jesus is saying, do you have a desire to be made whole? But I think that's kind of irrelevant. He's already there. Do you think it will work? Are you willing to put your stock in this? What's going on? But the impotent man turns around and he actually explains to Jesus the difficulties. It's funny, he's not really doubting the aspect of the bubbling water. He's not doubting any of that. He's actually doubting humankind around him and his own abilities. And I think that's an extremely truthful statement. Because even in my salvation, in my understanding, I do doubt my own abilities. And rightfully so, I am human, fallen. And I cannot rely on other human beings to bring me there. I cannot rely on other individuals to get me across the finish line. He turns around, the opponent man turns around, he says, sir, I have no man. I have nobody. I am alone. Have you felt in that situation? Have you gotten to the threshold of your next step in life and said, now what? Now what? He says, I have no man. He says, when the water is actually troubled up, he says, to put me into the pool. He says, but while I am yet coming, what happens? Another steps over me. Another goes beyond. They run by me. They're desirous for self. Survival of the fittest. It is a desperate situation, isn't it? To actually come down to hear what this man says. He says, I have come here. I've been coming here for years, no doubtably. He says, and I keep coming here. And even if it takes place, he says, I can't get to that water fast enough. There's no ability on my own part. He says, I am not able to do it. And he says, and you know what? There's nobody else in this area that's going to help me either. I can't do it. With men, it is impossible. And I think this is an acknowledgement from this individual that not only has he not had the ability, but nobody else has stepped up either. He doesn't know who Christ is. It doesn't indicate that he does. He doesn't understand that he is the Messiah. He doesn't have everything theologically worked out. He doesn't have everything planned ahead. He doesn't have any of this stuff worked out. He didn't go through catechism. He didn't go through confirmation. He didn't go through the understandings of the doctrine of the churches. He's not a first apostolic, an old apostolic, a plain apostolic. He's not a Catholic, a Methodist. He's not any of these things. He's an individual with a desire and a need and knows there's nobody to turn to. And Christ comes to him. Christ comes. And I hate to be cynical in this, but you can almost hear Christ saying, instead of, wilt thou be whole, you can hear him saying, but how's it working out for you? I've been a fool many times in my life, and I've challenged God, and I'm not proud of it. But I've challenged God many times. And I remember one specific time where I challenged God, and I had a little pity party, and I told God exactly what I thought. I thought he was mean because he wouldn't give me what I wanted, and I went through this whole situation. I was newly married. God was protecting me. I just couldn't see it because I wanted my own way. And it was almost like God was sitting in heaven. It was almost like he was sitting there saying, you know what, Jesse, you think you know better than me? Fine. When all the circumstances said no, 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 all of a sudden, literally 4 hours after a deadline, the phone rang and the job I wanted was mine. After being angry at God and angry at the world and saying nothing works my way for many, many hours, all of a sudden that phone rang, and guess what Jesse said? I knew it was meant to be. Absolutely. I never worked so hard in my life and never made one single penny. The company totally hosed me. Ripped me off. There's no way around it. I worked for months. I was supposed to get paid training, and at the end of completing your training, you were going to get paid. I got hosed. God is protecting. How many times have we turned around in our lives and we wanted to take things in our own hands? How many times have we challenged and tried to get things our own way and we've been let down? This is a great example of how one individual cannot help himself, cannot do it himself. And also the society around him is not willing to lend a hand, is not going to bring him to the finish line. But yet that does not stop our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He takes the brokenhearted, He takes those that are empty, He takes those that are trampled down, and He lifts them up. Our God is a gracious and a loving God who desires for restoration in our life, just as He healed the young man in the previous chapter, just as He will heal this individual. He wants restoration in your life. He wants you to succeed. This is not a prosperity gospel. You might be broke, you may not have a new Cadillac, but you will still do well in life if you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. All of these material things we will leave behind. All of them. He says, another steps before me. All Jesus did is turn around and looked at him and said, get up. Get up. He says, you take up your bed, walk. 38 years this man had not walked. 38 years. That's about my whole life. I'm only 45. 38 years. He didn't need physical therapy. He didn't need occupational therapy. He didn't need any of that. Christ says, rise up and walk. Not only that, pick up your bed, clean up your mess, take your stuff with you and walk. It is a miracle. Our God has blessed us immensely. Our God has blessed each and every one of us immensely. Even in this nation, just having shoes on our feet makes us more blessed than half of the world around us. You ever consider that? We get caught up in all the theatrics of politics and everything else, and I say, yes, do your part. But never lose sight of the fact you are blessed. Do not covet another. Do not covet someone else's stuff, but rather be thankful and be blessed with what you have, because he who is faithful with little will be given much. We are blessed. I don't know what your paths will be. I don't know where Jordan's and Victoria's and all these others are going to go. But I do know this. God has blessed you. He has given you a heart, Jacob, that is so beautiful and so strong, you will do well in life. God will bless you. Be faithful to Him. Be encouraged by Him. And move forward in the faith that He gives. Because this world will not answer your problems, but He will. And He will allow you. He will allow you to be an answer to the world. It is about time that we rise up as Christians and as believers and stop seeking for the answer from the world and rather be the answer to the world. Rise up, take your bed, and walk. And what do human beings do in this miracle? They get crabby because he did it on the Sabbath day. Back to the religion of men. Brother and sister in Christ, rise up and walk away from that too. Live wholly in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Live confidently in the Redeemer. And know His blood has washed you cleaner than any fuller could ever make you. Stand in His pure righteousness. Be encouraged by His Holy Spirit. and move forward into this world with the power of the Holy Spirit and be an answer to the world's questions. For Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to come here to worship You, to praise You. We thank You, Father, for the gift of life that is found solely in Jesus Christ. Allow us to live victoriously in this each and every day. As Brother Mark reminded us even in the opening prayer, allow us to be a light to the world. Allow us to be an example of Christ. Not that we've got to be so holier than Thou. Not that we have to stand out on street corners with all these bulletins. But rather, Father, that we can live our Christian faith and be strong in Christ. And then, yes, Father, that we can answer the questions of the world. We pray, Father, that You would magnify Yourself in and through these young individuals' lives that we honor today. We pray that You would allow them to be a force to be reckoned with by the power of Your Holy Spirit. That You would allow them to be strong, courageous, and most of all, glorifying You in everything they say and do. We pray blessing upon them. And there's nothing wrong with that, Father. We ask that You would also be with the rest of us, that You would allow us to encourage them, to strengthen them also, to be there in times of need. We pray, Father, that You would allow us to be there for one another. Encourage us in and through Your Word each and every day. We ask it all in Christ's name. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.